Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. This is Trent. I'm here with my good friend, Alan. And Alan, today, you know, we're living in this crazy world, we all pray that it ends magically on January 1st of 2021. I doubt that that's going to happen. But all of our churches have been forced into a new future. And so we want to talk about how does that work. And so, Alan, kind of help us to understand what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, you know, one of the questions that I hear a lot from pastors is they're wrestling with this question, is online church real church? And that's a fantastic question. And I don't know that we have all the answers today, but we thought we would throw that question out and we would kind of kick it back and forth a little bit and see what sense we can make of that question. Because I think it's one that if pastors are wrestling with it, our church folks are wrestling with it. And again, you know, it's hard for churches to change. I mean, this 2020 is like a bad Max Headroom moment for those of us who remember Max Headroom. So, you know,
that's old, man.
That is old, but you and I are both old. So we can at least laugh about it if no one else does. But I think it is a good question. And so I think it's one that we need to address and one that hopefully we can help some people out with, at least just thinking through it a little bit.
That's true, Alan. You know, and we've all, even churches that, we're already in the digital world. We're streaming their services. Everybody's been forced to change, update, do some things that maybe we weren't necessarily comfortable with. Now that people are used to that, I think one of the first things that we need to keep in mind is that that online presence and the need for that isn't going anywhere soon. I think it will be with us for, you know, until Jesus comes back. So I think this is going to be a big deal for a long time. What do you think?
What we do online is kind of a permanent fixture at this point in time. And the only way that's going away is if the internet goes bust somehow. And I can tell by the way we're beginning to shop and the way that we're doing all these other things that it would really cause an economic and social collapse if the internet was unavailable all of a sudden. And so, I think that every church needs to be thinking about their online presence and their online future as well.
Yeah. I'm glad you said the word future, because I think that it does take some planning. People are not just going to the internet, but they're becoming internet consumers to the point where they're looking to see what things they like on the internet and what things they don't. And they're very consumer conscious. And so that even goes into church services and things that they watch online as far as church goes.
Yeah. And if you don't have an online presence, you're not going to thrive in the future. And I think we'll probably mention a couple of reasons why a little bit later, but churches need to be thinking about their online presence. And, you know, you and I don't pastor large churches and we don't have large staffs, and you and I are probably as technologically savvy as most people in our particular churches. And I know that I feel like I'm behind the curveball a lot, and I've had to learn a lot, and I feel like I'm maybe in 2010 knowledge base, you know, I'm still behind, and I'm fortunate that I've got other people who are trying to pick up those pieces and who are probably even a little bit beyond me with technology that are trying to help out. But it's hard to play catch up on this online, in this online reality.
I think you're right, Alan. And we both have, you know, youth ministers and other people that we work with. And if you're in, you know, if you're a pastor, I would be looking for some younger people to help you move into this and to look around. And then once you start, Alan, once you start doing online church, I know you guys have probably dealt with this, but we, you know, we become our own critics and looking and watching our videos and saying, oh, that's not good. We got to change this. Or we begin to see things that are on the stage that we don't want to be showing on stage. And so there's a whole lot of those things. And so, you know, it's a constantly growing, changing, learning experience.
Yeah. We've bought a different camera. We're trying to do all kinds of stuff to improve that. And it's hard. I mean, it's a challenge because streaming live, you know, especially for those of you who are like us and not in major cities, mm-hmm. you're dealing with slower internet, which right. makes your video more jumpy. That's probably our biggest frustration is we barely get enough internet signal to do it. And then by the time people come in and they get on our guest Wi-Fi, you know, our bandwidth is dropping. And so we certainly struggle to make it as good as it can be. And, you know, some places are doing multiples. They're recording one that goes live and in anticipation mm-hmm. of what they're doing. And that's fine. Just recognize that you've got to have some kind of online presence. So, you know, the question, and it's kind of like, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, you know, and there's no one there to hear it, does it make any sound? Well, you know, here's that question, you know, is online church really, really church? And, mm-hmm. you know, I see a lot of pushback from pastors on this particular subject and who are emphatic on saying that it's not. And I can understand that, you know, because there are some theological concerns. You know, we talk about the church as a gathered body. Mm-hmm. Are you really gathering if you're not gathering physically?
Well, and that's a scripture in Hebrews tells us, you know, that we are supposed to we're not supposed to forsake the assembling together. And so is this really count? And I honestly, there is, I think God created us with that need for fellowship. And I know a lot of people that are struggling and even going through depression because of not being able to have that gathering together. So yeah, the theological concerns are real.
Yeah. And I don't think they should just be dismissed without consideration as well. And then, you know, not only are there theological concerns, and we could probably come up with a bigger list than that, but there's also some practical concerns. You know, how do you disciple someone when you're not in person? How do you mentor someone who you're not in person with? And those are real practical concerns. It's much harder to track things and do things well when you're not in person.
Discipleship is life on life, right? And so what you just said, Alan, is, you know, it's a struggle because in some ways we struggle because we don't get to be that in that proximity. And you can do a lot just by text even, but you don't get to see that person's reaction, their facial reaction to what you're saying, or, you know, so you kind of miss out on some of that. And so discipleship, all of the different parts of church, it's you miss out on a whole lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, how do you pass out donuts? You know, I mean,
I don't know.
And I'm trying to push them through the screen a little bit. But,
that's right.
But, you know, so there's practical concerns. And then we also have logistical concerns. You know, how do you really track and monitor? You know, one of the things that we've already seen is pastors getting all excited because, wow, you know, we had 200 views of our service last week. But if you go and you look closer at the details, they watched for the average watch was maybe 4 minutes, you know, and they didn't really watch. You didn't really have 200 people. You had maybe 25 who watched your entire service. And so it can be a lot harder to track and monitor what's going on in a virtual world.
That's really true. And one of the things I was visiting with a pastor just this past week about, I remember when I was doing college ministry, and one of the big things that was coming out in studies was that our younger people had the ability to watch multiple channels on TV at that time, at the same time, and keep track of everything that's going on with up to 20 channels at a time. Well, you move that to the internet. And so even if they've got your stream going, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily watching it. They may be listening to it or something. And so it's like, how is that real? You know, and so that's a real concern.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, I was talking to someone this week who's like, yeah, I watch our church when we aren't able to meet. And then I also watch this church and this church and this church, you know. So the question that came back to me is how much are you getting from each of them? You're getting bits and parts, and it's hard to know. I mean, it's just hard to know with that. So if there's, you know, theological, practical, and logistical concerns on the no side, for those who believe that online church is real church, I think there's reasons in each of those areas too, to say yes. And so maybe a theological reason for saying yes is, look at what God is doing for such a time as this, you know, that he's, he's prepared us. We were forced, almost every church was forced into an online virtual world this year. You look at the political and world landscape of churches needing to go underground and all those things going on, that maybe God has prepared the church to reach the world in an age of technology.
Yeah, a couple things to keep in mind, that this is kind of exciting because the scripture says that, you know, it will be when every tribe and nation and tongue is able to hear the gospel, that Jesus is returning. And so, wow, talk about an ultimate fulfillment of that. Online presence is allowing that to happen. The other thing that we need to keep in mind, I think that is really exciting, is we've been struggling. Churches have been struggling for the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years with how do we reach young people? Well, the group that is most savvy on the internet is young people. And now we've been forced into their laps and into their hands. So I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. One of the things that I've already noticed, and just as we've returned from our virtual gatherings to in-person gatherings, is that our average age of our guests has gotten younger in our church. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of that is because they're more quick to check us out online before they come visit in person. And they've already made a decision. Do they like our worship? Do they like the pastor? Do they like the preaching? And then they're really just checking out the atmosphere of the church. And, you know, for most of our churches, you know, if they've checked us out online and they come back and they've already made a decision, they like us, they're going to like the people too. And so it actually, I think, kind of helps us out a little bit, you know. And the truth is that while many of us in our age and in those older than us, we look at a virtual gathering, a Zoom call, well, we're not really meeting together. Mm-hmm. That's not how younger generations see it. They see that as a real gathering. You know, they see that as, you know, they have Zoom call grandma, they feel closer to grandma. They feel like they've connected to grandma. And whereas we may not feel like we connected to our grandkids, they feel like they connected to us. And that's because they see the virtual world as a real world. And we don't always do that. And so that's another practical reason. I think the generations are going to shift more to where there's at least an openness for online
church. Right. Well, Alan, and that only makes sense because those that are younger, the younger generations, the millennials especially, and younger Gen Z, they're virtual natives. They've been there. They've grown up there. That's all they've ever known. And so for them, yeah, it's very real. And so those connections that are made that way are real to them. And we're not natives. We're non-natives when it comes to this area. And so for us, it doesn't seem real, and that just makes sense.
Yeah, there's also some logistical reasons too, Trent. And and you mentioned it a little bit earlier that we have just more ability to spread the gospel. You know, the gospel goes out. You know, is discipleship about tracking and monitoring? Well, I think there is accountability in the role of discipleship. But what we really also want to think about is our ability to spread the gospel and to spread its influence around. And so that's important.
Yeah, it is. That's what we've been called to do, is to share the good news, right? To go out. And so this is our way of going out. That influence is spread further, faster, wider. And so there's some definite positives to that.
So those are some of the reasons, you know, why no, why yes. I mean, that's a, and those are pretty broad. We didn't jump into a lot of, I mean, you could certainly, especially on the theological side, you could probably sit there and hunker down for a while and really get some hot debate. But the problem is debate doesn't answer the questions. The truth is that we're all living in a world that has gone virtual in crazy fast ways, and that's probably not changing anytime soon. So what are some of the things that all of us, whether we're comfortable with it or uncomfortable with it, what are some of those things we need to take away for the here and now that can help us deal with this question, is online church real church? So Trent, what do you think?
Well, one of the things, and Alan has put together some great notes for us and we'll share on this, but one of the things I guess that comes to mind is that in order for church to continue, that our online streaming of our service is only a portion. It can't be all that you do. And you have to put some other things beside it, like connecting with people, calling them, texting them, writing letters. That has to come alongside that to make the reality of the church family real.
Yeah, and I Trent, I love what you said, connecting, and that's really what the virtual part, the online part's about. It's about connecting with people. It is our first place of connection now. You know, we said it was your website. For years they've been saying, you know, that your website's what people are going to check out before they come to your church, and that's true. But now they're going to your website and they're watching a service before they come to your church. And that's usually the first place of connection for someone for your physical church is your virtual church. And so, mm-hmm. You know, this is just for, if you don't believe it's anything else, it is a valuable step in the process of bringing someone to saving faith in Jesus Christ and becoming an active part of a church is your online presence and your service presence online and how you connect with them in those ways. And so it is a valuable step in the process.
Yeah, that's true, Alan. I don't know what the current statistics are, but it used to be that, you know, someone took at least 12 to 15 touches before they gave you the openness to hear the gospel and to make a decision for Christ. I don't know what that is now, but I think that, yes, this is, it's a very valuable step. It opens some doors that you wouldn't have opened to you otherwise.
Yeah. And that's all I would encourage you to think about is, you know, it doesn't have to be the end all, but can it be a piece of the puzzle? And certainly, just like a lot of the programs that we have in churches are just pieces of a puzzle. We want to make sure we have as many pieces that we can do. And use in helping complete the puzzle for someone. So here's the second one. Don't diminish the value of your online attendees. And Trent, you know, one of the interesting things is who's watching you online right now from your church?
Yeah, you start thinking about the faces and the people that are watching. And you know, we've had, in our church, we've had several families that have let us know, hey, we're watching or we're listening or whatever to the services. And those are real people. Don't just relegate those people to numbers, you know, that you count. Those are real people that are can be a real connection to you, just like we talked about just a moment ago. So, you know, one of the things, Alan, that I've had to work on and I'm still working on is how to, in my preaching, also speak to those that are listening or watching streaming online, you know, so that they feel connected to your sermon.
Yeah, I'm working on that one too, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, oftentimes you'll pick out people in your congregation, look at them or this or that to make sure, mm-hmm. I look at the camera to make sure I say, and if you're watching online, you know, trying to add some, mm-hmm. of those things in, it's a new added dimension in the preaching. That's for sure.
That's for sure. And, you know, so as you think about that, you begin to add those people into the community. And, you know, the people that are sitting there in your church, help them to understand that there are people outside of that group that's sitting there beside them that are watching, and that they are a part of that family, that community as well.
Yeah. You know, Trent, one of the things that I think is really cool is, you know, we for years have struggled in our churches to care for our homebound people, whether they're, mm-hmm. they're advanced in years or they're sick or, you know, whatever's going on in their life, their caregiver. This actually helps them stay connected where they would otherwise feel disconnected. And so we actually, you know, have a way now of helping these people still feel like they are a part of the church. And how awesome is that, that we don't have to walk up a cassette tape to them, you know, two weeks later. And, you know, mm-hmm. we are in a day where they can actually watch live even and be a part of it right in that moment. And so don't diminish their value. It may be the best that they can do right now. And that certainly mm-hmm. is enough if that's all they can do. So don't diminish their value. Third one, you can add people you would otherwise miss. You know, there's a lot of introverts. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of overly introverted people who want to go to a church, but they're terrified to go to a church. There are people in communities who aren't sure it's worth the drive. You know, people who work on Sunday, you're adding in opportunities to catch people you would otherwise miss.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of folks. You mentioned homebound people just a moment ago. And we have a family that they go over to their parents' house and set up and watch the service together online. So that allows them to be with their family and to connect with their church family at the same time. I think that's super valuable, you know, that because that family unit that they have there is connecting, plus they're staying connected to a church family. You mentioned those that are struggling with, you know, that are very introverted. We've had the conversation about that a lot of people don't like the meet and greet times. Well, God took that away. So you don't have to worry about that. But there's a lot of folks that are, you know, have a lot of anxiety. And you mentioned people that are working on Sunday. You know, gosh, there's a lot of people that are working on Sunday that would now have the opportunity to watch live or to watch a little bit later on.
Yeah, you know, just last year we were talking about adding services at other times. Well, you know, now you're adding an anytime service, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It's when you think about it, it's pretty neat that you can have an anytime service out there. Hey, did you work Sunday? You weren't able to join us? Join us now. You know, Monday night, join us Tuesday morning, whatever it is. You now have an anytime service to connect with other people in your community. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, Trent, but we've got someone watching from Tennessee. We've got someone watching from California. You know, we in the past would not have been able to connect with people who have a need and are not near us, but we certainly have that now. There may be an end goal of helping them move toward a local church in their own community, but for now, this is the best place for them to connect.
Yeah, here's a couple of ideas I think that might be helpful to you is to, you mentioned, we talked about the people that are working, make up some cards and invite your folks to give out cards to those people that they see that are working on Sunday, especially as we get to the holidays. This is a great time to say, hey, we don't want you to feel left out. Here, go and watch our service online. And then when God gives you the opportunity, then come join us. Another idea, our youth minister, he streams his Wednesday night youth program. And that has been one of our biggest watched groups, and not just by youth, but adults as well.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, don't forget to stream those other times
too. Yeah, our student ministry is doing the same thing. And, our youth minister did an online tutorial on playing a group game in a virtual world. And we've had thousands of watches on that. And I'm sure it's just other youth ministers trying to figure out what do we do in a virtual world. Yeah. But, you know, get stuff out there. For people, find new ways to connect, so you're not missing out on opportunities that God puts in front of us. And we cannot say enough that people are watching before they visit you, and mm-hmm. how you connect online will help them determine if they're going to connect in person. And for some of them, that may be a years of work to try to get them to connect in person. But no, they're going to connect with you online first.
Yeah. And during this time when, people are forced into staying at home, I've talked to some folks that literally haven't hardly left their house in 6 months. There will come a time when that opens up again a little bit. And so maybe because they've had that front door visit with you through your streaming service, and then they will be more open to come and actually visit and find out, hey, I want to, I've been watching this. Now I want to go and experience it for real. So that's one thing to keep in mind. So the question, we started out kind of asking is online church real church? As we come back to that, I guess I want to remind us that, hey, it doesn't have to be the entirety, but it can be a good portion. What Alan said a little bit ago, a piece of the puzzle that helps us to do the call that God has for us as a church.
Yeah, and I know there are going to be churches, what Life Church does and other churches that have true virtual churches, but that's not going to be the norm. It will certainly be a niche of churches, but it's not going to be most churches. Most churches will still be the gathered church, but we don't want to miss this particular element as a part of that process. And so, challenging days for churches, a lot going on, but Trent, we're here to help. We're here to encourage churches and leaders, and we would love to walk alongside you as we move into 2021. You may have a lot of questions. We would love to offer your church a church consultation. Reach out to Trent at enduringchurches.consulting or Alan at enduringchurches.consulting, because we would love to come alongside you, and we would love to kind of just walk through your church with you and figure out how you can move forward in a productive way for God's kingdom. And so anyway, if you have some questions about online church, please reach out to us as well. We'd love to help you in that area. We're certainly not experts, but we can certainly get you to the right place for that. So anyway, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us this time today, and we want to encourage you to share this if it's been helpful to you. Well, share it even if it's not been helpful to you, but just share it with someone. We just want to be a part of your life, and thank you that you invite us to do that. So we'll look forward to catching you on our next episode.